Material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. Johnny Sestina and Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money. Managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you to create better financial habits. Envision your long-term goals and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of Johnny, Sestina, and Company are on deck to show you the way.
Welcome to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina, and with me tonight, Spencer and Tyler. Tyler's a certified financial planner. Tyler, good evening.
Yes, sir. Good
Spencer,
to see you.
Spencer, you're coming along strong. Right, buddy?
I'm working my way there.
I know you are. You're a good young man, so we appreciate you. Well, we wanted to kind of continue along the line of the insurances. And last week, we talked a lot about the life insurance and went through some of the detail and various kinds of policies that are out there. And we kind of thought we'd just touch on that again to refresh people. And then we're going to move into disability insurance. And if we have time, then we'll go into long-term care insurance. Because insurance is a big part of everyone's life. You see, when
it is.
When clients come in, Tyler, you see their insurance policies.
Yeah, very rarely is it all buttoned up and where it needs to be.
And sometimes they can't find the policy.
Well, that's the hard part, too, just getting the information in the beginning.
Did you ever wonder why the insurance companies give you the policy folded in thirds? That's so when you put it in your box, you'll never look at
it
again.
Right, yeah, it hides away
quickly. You never open it up and look at it again.
Right.
But insurance, for most folks, is pretty confusing. They don't know what to look for. They're not in that market at all. So that's why we need to talk a little bit about these insurances. So let's go back to life insurance kind of quickly.
Yeah.
And the first thing is to recognize that there are basically only two kinds of insurance, life insurance. And the first is term. And as I said last week, you go to the betting window and you lay down your $100 and you say to the insurance company, I'll bet you $100 I'll die. And the insurance company says, fine, we'll bet you $100,000 you don't. And either way, you lose. So if you live, you get nothing. And if you die, well, you don't get anything either. Your heirs do. So that's term insurance. And we talked about the fact that you can pick the term, one-year term, five-year term, et cetera. And then there's all kinds of decreasing term and even increasing term, term that can be converted into cash value type life insurance, and that's the other insurance. The other kind of insurance is basically cash value oriented. Now, in the insurance industry, when you're talking to one of the salespeople, they'll suggest the name permanent insurance. Tell me, Tyler, what's more permanent than term insurance?
Yeah, well, it's the idea that there is no term, right? So there's never a term that expires or that would have a change in your premium past a certain number of years. So as long as you pay the premium, the policy should be there.
Right. So, but as long as you pay the premium, the term is there too.
That's true.
So it's a misnomer in my estimation. So when you look at the life insurances, as I say, we said, there's term insurance and there's cash value type life insurance, increasing, decreasing, and there's whole life insurance. What the heck is that? Is that you get the whole policy or what is it? I love the terms of the insurance business.
There's so many, it's hard to keep them straight. No, but the idea is that, again, it's that permanent type of coverage. You pay your premium, and it's got an underlying cash value that tracks with the policy. One tangent, perhaps, on this, too, and I think a lot of people are familiar with their insurance through their employer.
Right.
And that's the term version, right? That's a group term coverage, no medical underwriting in most cases. So as long as you're with the employer, you've got the coverage. The risk there, and we see it a lot, is what happens if you change jobs?
Yeah, it's not transferable.
Right? Yeah, can you take it with you? Is it portable is the term that they use in the industry, and some are and some aren't. And that's more important when I think somebody's probably closer to retirement, and they've had this group policy their whole life, and obviously they haven't needed to use it, which is wonderful. However, if they want to have some coverage transitioning into retirement, it may be difficult because if you're in your 60s at some point, the cost of the insurance is going to be substantial, far greater than what the premium is you're paying while you're employed. So some of those provisions are really important to pay attention to in terms of where you're at in your life, and that's what we'll get to with the overall need of insurance. It should change over the years. It shouldn't stay the same from your 30s to your 60s. Your insurance needs should change and hopefully go down.
Exactly right. And when you get that pay stub, Spencer, you need to look at all the things that are on there that you're paying for. And most people don't even know, you know, what do those letters mean? And one of them, as you said, is group life insurance. And so you want to be attentive to that. Well, then there's also variable life insurance, and there's
universal variable,
and there's a survivorship insurance. What the heck is survivorship?
That depends. There's a lot of words for that, too, but the one I think of is the second-to-die policies.
Right.
So you can get a policy on essentially both spouses in it, but it'll only pay out at the death of the second spouse. And there is first-to-die, so it'll pay out the death of the first. So there's, again, so many different combinations. It's really important to just understand what you're looking at. And again, like I said before on previous shows, in insurance, and particularly life insurance, people are sold a product.
Yes.
They don't buy it. I think of it like going to the grocery store, right? You don't walk around like to the meat counter and the meat guy's not going, hey, well, you want this ribeye, not the strip, right? It's your choice. You pick what you want, what you need, and what you're feeling. And that's how it should be with life insurance. You should really know going into the discussion what you're looking for so that you don't get off in a tangent and sold a policy that you really don't need.
And that's the challenge. The education level on the insurance is not very good.
No, it's funny when you say that. I always think of this one story. I was talking to an individual. It was probably a few months after I started getting into the financial planning industry. She's 24 years old, just got back from the Peace Corps. Only debt she had was credit card debt, and we're looking at this $500,000 life insurance policy, and you ask two or three questions, and then it always falls back into, well, yeah, you know, I really don't know why I got this life insurance policy or this much, so.
Yes, it's they were told they needed it. They don't understand why, and maybe they did need it, right? But understand why you need it. That's the key.
And fortunately, the consumer can be educated on insurance. There are many good papers and magazines and booklets that'll tell you about that. For example, you can read Kiplinger's magazine.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That's a great magazine. Gives you tips. You can pick up Bottom Line. That's an excellent thing. They have all kinds of issues of insurance and many other planning things that might be helpful to you. So you need to educate yourself, and that is what we are basing all of our planning on. We try to educate the client, because an educated client can make better decisions. And so with the insurance, you need to be educating yourself. And then all these policies we've been talking about may or may not be appropriate for you. At least your decision-making be somewhat simpler, right?
Absolutely.
All right, great. So the life insurance, whatever you find you have, as you say, you may find some with your employer. You may decide that when you leave, you can make it portable.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to do that, find out. Because if you have a health condition, you want to keep that policy. You don't want to have to go and get another exam and get new insurance. And as you say, as you get older, those premiums really go through the roof. I mean, they get
absolutely
really outrageous. What you're paying a month, you multiply it by 200, and that'll be the new annual premium on that sucker.
Right.
So pay attention to that. One insurance I'd stay away from is decreasing term insurance. And yet that's what a lot of people buy. When they take out a mortgage, they get decreasing term insurance. Or when they buy a car and they have a loan on it, they take decreasing insurance. You're paying this dollar amount premium on a decreasing value.
It's like a depreciating asset,
it's
right?
It's a depreciating asset. Yeah. Same thing is true of whole life, by the way, or cash value, because you realize when you pay that premium, when you die, your spouse doesn't get all of it. They get whatever the cash value is, and the death benefit makes up the difference. So if you have a $100,000 policy and you have $40,000 cash value, well, what the insurance company is really doing is giving your heir $40,000 of the cash value and the difference from the life insurance company. So guess what? That's decreasing term as well. So I believe in general, I think all insurance is decreasing. In other words, insurance, much like car insurance, is you pay for it to cover the liability, the possibility.
Right.
And so don't get locked into, well, this is an investment. It's not an investment. If you had to make a decision to go from here to Cleveland, you could borrow my SL500 and drive to Cleveland, or you could get a bicycle and pedal your way to Cleveland. Which one are you going to pick?
I'll take the SL.
Of course you'll take the SL. I mean, after all, why would you take the bicycle? What if I put doors on the bicycle so it looks like a car? You still going to take the car? Well, what if I put a windshield on the bicycle? So you're still going to take the car? You see, what's happening is these things are being not disguised, but they're being elaborated upon to convince you to take the bicycle instead of the car.
Right.
So if you're educated, you should be making better and better decisions as to what you should be buying. You need life insurance for the most part, so take advantage of it and be sure you're talking to someone who's on your side and really knows what he or she is talking about. Well, you're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.
You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy with fee-only financial planners of Johnny, Sestina & Company. Expert advisors as seen in the Wall Street Journal, Financial Planning Magazine, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and U.S. News & World Report. If you're looking for the latest stock tip or how to time the market, you've come to the wrong place. If you want help navigating all the moving pieces of what makes a financial plan successful, tune in and take notes.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. With us tonight, Spencer Hagar and Tyler Cook, certified financial planner Tyler Cook. Well, guys, we're dealing with the life insurance. Hopefully we gave some tips there that people can go back and do some reading, subscribe to some magazines, go spend some time in the library or on the web, and do some research so you know what the heck you're buying. Because if you know what you're buying, then you'll make better decisions. But now we have to move on into a far more difficult decision-making problem. And that's disability. Why is that a bigger problem?
Well, I mean, it's, you compare it to life insurance, right? And as far as what's more important. And I think certainly for somebody in their working years, your prime earning years, or just really just at any level of your working career, disability insurance is far more important than life insurance. In fact, the statistics continue to show that you're far more likely to become disabled at some point in your life than you are to die. And so the need there to insure and protect your income is critical. There's a lot of moving pieces to it when we get into the details, but a lot of people have something through work. We see that quite a bit when people come in. They've got a policy through work. They really don't know what it is, but they know they have something. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of details in terms of what it actually covers and, more importantly, what it does not cover. And that's what I learned from you years ago, John, just working with other experts, right, working with the insurance agent to figure out what somebody has and what they need. There's often gaps in those employer-provided coverages, so we'll get into that later, but a lot of moving pieces with disability, far harder to analyze than life insurance.
You bet. My favorite story is my very first client, and I had to convince him to buy disability insurance, the personal kind, not the group, whatever. And he said, well, I have group insurance through my association, so I'm covered. I said, well, let's look at the definitions and coverages and so on and so forth. And he said, well, okay, that may not be as strong as the permanent one. And so we bought him this disability insurance, and lo and behold, many years later, and like in his 60s, he became permanently disabled. He could no longer practice his profession. And so he's looking, and he's receiving benefits from both policies. He said, well, this is a good deal. Look at this. I'm getting both policies. And so his group paid because he was still qualified. But as soon as he hit 65, you know what happened?
The group turned off, probably.
The group
right?
turned off.
Yeah.
There was no more there. But the other one that he purchased, the personal one, is still going on, and it's now over 20 years
wow.
that he's been receiving that personal disability.
And that's like the good old days, John. I say that just even 10, 15 years ago, you could buy a policy that would pay lifetime benefits.
Yep.
But you can't anymore.
I know.
You can't.
Why is that? Why would they do that?
I think 2008 was a rude awakening for the insurance companies, and they reset the bar on a lot of the definitions and how long they're going to pay out and really reviewed the claim process.
Right.
I think that was a big factor.
That was a big factor. So we're talking about disability. Now remember, this means that something happens that you can no longer produce income. You can't work. You don't lose your job necessarily, but you can't work.
And it doesn't have to be catastrophic, right?
No,
I think
doesn't.
When people hear disability, they think, oh my gosh, losing a limb or something like that, or paralyzation or whatever. It's not what we're talking about. It could be something cognitive as well.
Yes, it could be. Or like with me, you could have some eye problems.
Right.
Or something like that could occur and you can't do your job. If you're an attorney and you're reading all day long and you lose your vision or even partially, then you are disabled.
That's a major problem.
You can't earn enough money. So let's kind of go through this and how it works and talk a little bit about the group insurance first.
Yeah, start looking at what you have available through work. Again, not all employers offer this coverage, but you want to see what it offers in terms of your group disability policy. And typically it'll say something like this. It'll say you're covered, right? The policies will cover you if you are unable to perform your own occupation for a period of 24 months. That's important. We'll talk about that line in a minute. So you can't work, basically can't do what you're doing. The policy will pay for 24 months. However, the definition continues to go on to say, if after 24 months, you can perform any occupation, so anything, any occupation.
You can sweep floors.
Yep.
You can do dishes.
Yep. You name it.
Do anything you can think of.
So if you perform any of those occupations, then the policy essentially stops paying. So that 24-month is a typical clause you'll see in a lot of the policies. And so things may be okay for that first 24 months if you're disabled, but what happens in year three?
Right.
Then you're in a big problem, like kind of like what you said, John, about the client who retired and the benefits stopped at age 65.
Yep.
Think about if you're disabled at age 30, all of a sudden age 33 shows up and your policy's done.
Because remember what this is doing. This is replacing the income you can't generate anymore.
Right.
And so this is to pay your bills, to pay your mortgage, you know, to feed your family and all the other things that are going on. Maybe educate a college, a child going through college. There's a whole raft of things that this could help you with.
Right. So it's that long-term piece, right? There's short-term policies, but we're talking about the long-term disability. And that'll typically only cover up to maybe two-thirds of your income.
Right.
So it's not going to replace all of it. It'll replace two-thirds of it. I don't know if I'll have time today to get into it, but there's tax issues involved with all that, and as far as who's paying the premiums and so forth. But
yeah, we'll get into it, sure.
But think about it: if your paycheck stops, there's only one way to protect that,
right?
And it's this type of insurance. Now, what I've seen so much over the years is you go through the process and you got a policy through work. Okay, great, but there's that gap, so you've got to cover the gap and supplement that, and you can get a private policy like what you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier. And that private policy will follow you from job to job. So it's not, you don't have an issue if you change jobs. You don't have to worry about that policy being affected on the personal side. But what happens, and it happens probably 90% of the time, is sticker shock.
Right.
When you see the premium, right?
It's healthy.
But think about that. Why is it so expensive?
Because you need to insure your income.
Well, it's the one you're most likely to use, right?
Yeah,
insurance companies
exactly.
aren't stupid. They know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Spencer doesn't need it. He's a young man.
He's invincible.
He's invincible. He's, what are you, 21 now?
21 years old.
Oh, man.
I tell myself I have about 15 years until my back starts to hurt a little.
Yeah, you're a 45-year-old man trapped in the 21-year-old body.
Something like that. Yeah. It's funny, though. I always think about that. That was probably when it really hit me the most. I was sitting in a meeting with Tyler, and we were talking about it, and there's that sticker shock, and he phrased it more as, well, I mean, why do you have auto insurance? You have it, and you hope you don't get in an accident, but, I mean, that's what it's all for. That's what insurance is, subsidized in case something that you don't want to happen happens.
That's right.
It's I don't know if easy is the right word, but it's comforting to have that discussion with somebody and know that you're telling them that because they need it, not because you're trying to sell it to them.
No,
again,
of course,
being
we don't sell it.
Yeah, being fee only, we're not selling the product. It's just, this is what you need,
mm-hmm.
whether or not you get it, to your call, but as your advocate, as your fiduciary, that's what we're trying to do is say, protect your income.
Right.
You got to do it. And it's not fun. I hate paying my premiums too, but you set it on auto pay and forget about it.
You know what? I paid mine all the way until I was 65, and then I had to let it go. It all ended.
It was
private insurance, but at 65, you couldn't order it anymore.
Yeah.
Because they say, well, you're 65, you're going to get Social Security someday. Oh, man, what a deal that is.
Right. But think about that. So if you've got something through work, right, that group policy is probably the place to start. Now, if you're self-employed, that's a whole other scenario to get into because it's trickier with self-employed folks because of the way their income is structured. They're going to base it on what your net profit is of your business, not your top gross revenue. So that's always a fun conversation to go through. But start with what you have through work and then consider supplementing it. And the way you do that is you got to get quotes. Get quotes based upon what your income is and so forth. So again, you have to have an income first to insure. Of course, that's what we're talking about here. And again, 60 to 70%, that's about the max they'll cover you for. So there's, I don't know how much time you want to get into it right now, but there's so many ramifications of doing this, good and bad, right? Earlier the better in terms of locking in your premium.
Right.
But it's not good enough to just say, okay, you're 35 years old, be done with it. You've got to review it every single year because hopefully your income is increasing.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you saying that managing to be wealthy means that you are paying attention to this stuff on a continuous basis? Absolutely.
That's the idea.
Right.
Yep.
That's the idea. This is a process. It's not an end. When you hit retirement, it doesn't end. Even at your death, it doesn't end if you have family and other provisions there. So keep that in mind. So disability, we kind of hit on the group and what your company provides. And we're going to go further into this after the break. But it is time for us to do another break. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN. Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. With me tonight, Tyler Cook, Certified Financial Planner, and Spencer Hagar. Guys, we're walking through a swamp, I guess, because it's kind of messy for people who aren't familiar with it, and that swamp is disability. And as you pointed out earlier, Tyler, most people don't realize that you're more likely to be disabled in the next 5 years than you are to die. Yep. So folks provide for life insurance for their families, but they don't consider providing for the income that may be lost. I mean, it, all kinds of things could happen. I know, you know, Spencer's so young, nothing's going to happen to him. But you can, their young people have strokes.
Yeah.
If you have a stroke, you may not be able to work for a long period of time. So there's lots of things to go. So we're kind of walking through this, and we're at a place now where we've talked about the group kind of policy. We've talked about the individual. We're talking about the individual policy. And now we're going to talk a little bit about definitions.
Right. And specifically on those individual policies. So, again, the key words are own occupation versus any occupation. You want the own occupation. That favors you as the policyholder. So if you can get a policy on the individual side with the definition of own occupation from now until you're age 65, that's what you need to look for. There's actually a pretty cool calculator on Guardian's website. Guardian's been around forever in the disability insurance world. They're considered one of the Cadillacs, if you will, one of the higher ends. But there's a great calculator to go there and play around with at guardianlife.com just to see some initial quotes and just get an idea. Again, you'll get sticker shock when you see right. that. But the definition there, again, own occupation is what you want. And the next layer you look at is, all right, how much coverage are you eligible for? And from that point, the definitions will tell you when the policy pays. And we talked earlier, it doesn't have to be something catastrophic. It could be something cognitive where perhaps you're not able to work in your full capacity, but you can still work a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps another way to say that is you have a loss of income of, say, 30%, but you can still do 70% of what you were doing before. Well, there's policies, Guardian's one of the companies that offers this, where they'll pick up the difference. So if you can still do your 70% capacity you were before, Guardian, if you had the policy, would pick up that 30% difference and you're made whole.
Right.
So not all policies are like that, though.
Oh, no.
And especially the group ones. A lot of the group ones have different caveats, and it's interesting reading these things over the years. There's always outs, right? There's more outs to not pay than to pay. Good example, I was dealing with a scenario a few years ago with a dentist, and, you know, dentists have a lot of issues with neck and back issues because they're leaning over,
right,
looking in people's mouths all day long, and that can create some chronic pain issues and other stuff. And the scenario where it was like pulling teeth to try and get the policy to pay out, because of all the proof of what you needed to show was happening, the proof of loss of income, when did the actual issue start occurring. In this scenario, somebody tried to work through the pain for a while, and that actually backfired, because if they would have made a claim earlier, then the clock started ticking.
Right.
And that's what we'll talk about next is, you go down tomorrow, the policy's not going to pay you tomorrow.
No.
There's going to be a waiting period, right? There's going to be that elimination period.
Yeah, you could wait 30 days, 90 days. Some people want to wait a whole year.
Right. It depends, and that. It's kind of like with your auto insurance, right? Your deductible, that changes the premium.
Yep.
You know, higher your deductible, the lower the premium. Well, same thing with disability. The longer you wait to collect benefits, if you had to make a claim, then the lower your premium would be as you're paying it when you don't need it. So I just wanted to make that point that, again, it doesn't have to be catastrophic. It could be just a small loss of income, 20, 30%, something like that. But there are policies that would pick up the difference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that's one of the definition is everything.
Yeah. Definition, when it pays. Some other kind of bells and whistles are inflation or cost of living adjustments. Those are big ones. Think about, you mentioned earlier,
somebody had an inflation provision in it.
Right.
So thank God.
20 years ago, right? Yep. The benefit amount was far less than what it would be today.
That's exactly right.
And that's obviously, we know everything is inflating, even though we hear it's not.
And those are harder to get. And sometimes the stated inflation rate is not appropriate for what's going on in the real world.
Right.
So right. I know we're probably driving you a little nuts out there, but indeed, if you're going to do this yourself, you need to read the policies. Now, a friend of mine, one of the original fee-only financial planners, this a guy named Bob, and Bob figured out a way to learn. So what he did, he suggested to his client, what you should do, if you want a proposal to understand this, you would call Agent A and say, look, I'm such and such, and then I'm this age, I'm thinking of disability, and I think I need this much of disability, and so on down the line. He said, would you draw me up a proposal? Don't come over, but draw me up a proposal, okay? And then he would say, yeah, and then call it Agent B, and he would say the same thing. Then he would call Agent C, okay? Now he has three proposals that come in the door. When he gets a proposal from A, he calls B. He says, B, I received a proposal from A. Would you mind looking at it and telling me if there's any flaws in it? Guess what? If there's flaws, B is going to point it out. Then he calls C and tells him about B, and et cetera. You do that through all those three things. Now, you're not trying to waste the insurance person's time. I mean, they're valuable if they're knowledgeable in this. So you don't want to waste anyone's time. But what you are going to find out is you're going to hear the same things over and over, and you're going to learn about what you should be thinking of as far as you and your disability coverage. And they may help you with the time to wait the elimination period. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, people pick disability provisions that don't pay for a lifetime, or they don't pay to age 65.
Right.
They'll pay for shorter periods of time.
And there could be issues for that. There could be health-related issues with the underwriting process where it's due to certain medications, the policy will only pay for 10 years or 5 years. So, yeah, you do have those issues to walk through as well. And then on the elimination period, just a point to add to that, the most common one you'll see is a 90-day period. So you go down, you make a claim, you wait till day 91 until your first check shows up. That's what we talk about. It's Tony's favorite thing, right? The cash reserve.
Yep.
You've got to have your cash reserve emergency fund in place. And it's not exciting. It's not sexy. It's just sitting in a bank account, cash ready to go when you need it. But to bridge that gap, this is another reason why you should have that cash reserve in place.
You should, because this is, right, this is one of the important reasons why you would do that. So make sure you have your cash reserve. And Spencer, you young people, what do you think? You don't need all these provisions, do you?
You know, I hate to keep coming from the young, naive perspective, but no, I think that's a great point. I mean, I think another part of it, too, is you can get complacent or think you're doing the right thing, which is kind of what you were saying, where you have to read the policies if you're going to do it on your own. I mean, I remember I was 19, 20 working at Target, and I was looking at the group term policy, and I can guarantee you I did not make it past after 24 months. So
it's thrilling reading, right?
Yeah. You better have a lot of coffee by you.
Once you do it enough, though, you know where the key parts are, and you know they're 70 pages long. You know, reading that stuff, but once you know where to look, it's a little less cumbersome. But I think another thing too is from a millennial perspective, right? Having that cost, you get a policy, have that cost of living feature in there, right? Because that's going to be key, especially if you go down in your 30s, you're going to want that thing to increase in benefit over the years. And then there's other ways to kind of ease into the disability insurance. It's kind of similar, I guess, maybe, John, in a way to how life insurance premiums can be paid, but they can do what's called a graded premium.
Mm-hmm.
So you start out at a lower amount, but the premium will increase every year. But that might be a way if you're concerned about cash flow on your personal financial side that you can ease into the policy and at some point convert it to a level premium. But there are also other policies that you can start out at a level premium and pay the same amount forever until you're age 65. And again, with disability insurance, it's called guarantee renewable, which means as long as you pay the premium, they have to provide the coverage.
Right. And this is another example of managing to be wealthy in the sense that this is a process, as I said, and you need to pay attention to this and your needs will change. And so as you're looking at your plan and this coverage, you want to be certain that you have an adjustment possibility.
Yep.
Or you are covered for a long enough period of time. You might buy two disability policies, one for a shorter term, one for a longer term, depending on your financial circumstances. So there's a whole lot of that to watch out for.
And so, even just I'm telling you that it's that peace of mind factor, right, that once you have it in place, there is that kind of, you can relax for a moment and know that you're okay.
Yep.
I had a phone call years ago. Somebody had an immediate open heart surgery, unexpected. Wife called. I was able to say, yep, you're okay. Don't worry about it. Just get through what you need to do.
Yep. That's the point. That's why we call it Managing to Be Wealthy, and that's who you're listening to on 610 WTVN.
You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy with fee-only financial planners of Johnny, Sestina, and Company. Expert advisors as seen in the Wall Street Journal, Financial Planning Magazine, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and U.S. News & World Report. If you're looking for the latest stock tip or how to time the market, you've come to the wrong place. If you want help navigating all the moving pieces of what makes a financial plan successful, tune in and take notes.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. With me tonight's Spencer Hagar and Tyler Cook, Certified Financial Planner. Well, guys, we're almost done with our time, so I don't know how much more of this we can cover in disability. But before I get going, Tyler, why don't you tell them about the workshop coming up?
Yeah, we've got our Retirement Readiness Workshop coming up next month. It'll be Saturdays, May 4th and 11th from 9 a.m. to noon at Ohio State's Fawcett Center on campus there, right across from the Woody Hayes facility. Again, this is specific to retirement. So before we've done general workshops about what financial planning is, how to kind of build the backbone to your plan. This is taking one of those pieces, retirement planning specifically, and focusing solely on that. So again, it's Saturdays, March 4th and 11th from 9 a.m. to noon at the Fawcett Center. And go to managingtobewealthy.com. On the top right, you'll see a workshop drop-down. If you click that, it's got all the details and so forth. But they're going to talk about things like healthcare. I mentioned that last week. Healthcare is a big deal in retirement. The Medicare maze, with along with Social Security. Talk about how to evaluate your pension benefits. Should you take that lump sum, the stream of payments, all those different options that you've got there. And really, you can, if you're not at that phase yet, you can see, are you even on track to hit your retirement goal? Say you're 40 years old, you want to retire when you're 60. What do you need to do to get there? So we'll talk about all those topics. So again, go to managingtobewealthy.com and click on workshop.
That's a useful thing. Those people who have attended in the past have said nice things about it. So hopefully this will be even more enlightening to those who attend. So, okay, so back to the disability insurance. And one of the things I wanted to point out was when you're dealing with disability insurance, this is kind of a specialty. So you can't just go to the local insurance agent and say, do you sell disability? Because he may or may not. So what you want to find is someone who is knowledgeable in the area of disability, almost a specialist, because this can be a specialist area. I mean, we've had insurance specialists join our staff meeting and educate us on just this one subject.
Right.
And it took the entire time for him to do that. So you want to find someone who is knowledgeable in this area.
I'll throw maybe a curveball here. We didn't mention this before, but I kind of said it's a little more difficult with business owners, but that's if you're self-employed. But there's also the aspect of having disability coverage to protect, you know, a buy-sell scenario, right, with your business partners.
Mm-hmm. You're going to buy-sell and also business overhead.
Right, over to keep the business running. Right. So if you go down, there'll be there's policies that'll pay out to just pay the overhead of the business, keep the lights on, pay the employees and so forth. So it's not just kind of the isolated, hey, you're working 9 to 5 type thing, get policy through your work. There's so many different combinations.
And I've seen examples of that. We've had clients over the years who've used the business overhead insurance, for example. As you said, pays the secretary. And, you know, who's going to collect the receivables?
Right.
You know, someone has to show up at the office perhaps and do that or do the billing wherever that person is. And so you need to pay that person. And you still may need to pay the rent unless you want your place to be evicted, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of those expenses. And the other one, though, which is a bigger one, I think, is when you have a group, your partners or business associates. And what happens if one of the partners becomes disabled? Let's say we're a three-man doctor group, Spencer, you and I. And Spencer, being so young, he, you know, out on one of his four-wheelers and he runs into a tree and becomes disabled. And he's down for extended period of time. Well, out of good graces, we'd probably continue to pay him for a while.
Did you know I was on a four-wheeler and got hurt? True story. Did you know that?
I know. I was trying to protect you, Tyler.
Only broke my hand, though. Nothing. I can still work.
At least not your head. That's what's important. Okay. Yeah.
Let's start painting this picture about Tyler, not as much being on the four-wheeler.
And so that person, you'll probably pay them for a while, but there will come a time. You may say, well, depending on how they build in their practice, you'll say, we'll pay that person their receivables. But when the receivables run out, what do you do?
Yeah.
Because this person is likely to recover because the accident was not permanent, as it were. And so they're going to come back into the practice. You don't want to lose them. You have a good relationship. They're a good doctor in this case. And so you have this disability to cover such an event. So that's another...
Critical, yeah. So, it's again, this is stuff you hope you don't ever need it, but if you ever do, it's invaluable.
Well, that's the thing with insurance.
It's all insurances, right? Yeah.
Insurance, whether it be your motorcycle.
Yeah.
I'm crying because I had to sell my motorcycle. No. So whether it's your motorcycle or your house or your car or your health, whatever the case may be, you need to cover that sort of thing.
Yeah, and your health and your age are two really big factors that play into the pricing of your policy. And I said earlier, sticker shock, again, that's... If you go to get these quotes and look at this, you're going to say, oh my gosh, that's really expensive. But again, there's a reason. So your age and your health are big factors. Gender is a big one, still in insurance, right? Male versus female.
Yes.
Longevity and so forth. Whether or not you smoke, that seems like an obvious one, right? That's not going to help you in your underwriting.
Definitely not.
But a big one is your occupation. So they have occupation classes. So a physician is rated differently than the teacher, right? They've got different levels of occupations, and that also dictates the premium associated with it.
Right, and there's some you can't get your own occupation. I mean, if you're sitting at a desk all day and that's your job, you may not be able to get your own occupation for that coverage because it's so general.
Right.
So that's another thing you have to look at. But you're right, your health has a factor, what you do for a living has a factor, and even they will ask about your hobbies.
Yes.
You know, are you a skydiver or
funny story about that.
A four-wheeler? Yeah, what's your story?
I saw one scenario where... somebody's going through that process and filling out the questionnaire, and it was a, what did they call it? Not dangerous activities checklist, but it was something like that. It said, list everything that you do on a regular basis. And somebody had gone on their honeymoon and they went scuba diving. They checked scuba diving as like it was a regular activity. And so when it went through underwriting, it came back with questions, and then they had to clarify, oh, no, we did that on our honeymoon. They're being honest, right?
Yes.
Which is what you want to do with it during that process, of course. But if you scuba dive once,
that's
probably
not
necessary.
That's
right?
not a hobby.
That's a one-time deal. But yeah, they do factor those things in, and they may put certain exclusions or limitations on things.
Exactly. So, for example, with
dentists, a lot of the exclusions, a lot of times there's exclusions on back issues.
Yes.
They'll do that right away, especially if you've already had a back issue. Then you try to go get a new policy. Well, they're going to exclude paying you if you get disabled because of your back.
That's right.
So it's very, very specific. The underwriting on this stuff takes months. It's not quick.
Mm-mm.
It's not like life insurance is a lot quicker. And the questions they ask are, it can feel kind of invasive too. You know, all the details that they want about family history and everything else. But be honest when you go through it. That's the best way. Honesty is the best policy with this. And it's critical that you work with the specialist, John. I think that's a real good big takeaway today.
That's really important because they can look into that definition. I remember one definition I saw where the terms of disability were if you lost your hand or foot, okay, and it specifically said it had to be above the wrist joint or above the ankle joint. So if you crushed your hand and lost the ability, you weren't covered.
Wow.
So yeah. You really need someone who knows what they're doing.
And there's other ones I've heard you talk about, too. You know, you've got to be walking down the street, 40 degrees out, piano's being moved up to the top floor, right?
Yes, sir.
Then it'll pay.
Right? Yeah,
that's right. Catastrophic. What's the term I'm looking for?
AD&D?
Yes, thank you. The accidental death and dismemberment stuff.
Life insurance. We don't generally recommend that. If you need the life insurance coverage, don't hope you get hurt accidentally. Okay.
That's right.
You might entice someone. So, or double indemnity, right? That's where you get twice the amount if certain events happen. You know, a polar bear comes out of the summer closet and rips you apart and so on and so forth, and then you're in trouble. You don't want to rely on that sort of a thing.
No.
I mean, this financial planning process is real important. As you get your arms around this and you become more familiar, and as I said, read some of the magazines and papers and get a handle on what this means with our basic summary today, then you'll have a better understanding of what you're trying to provide.
And the key here is building your own policy, right? You can make it what you want. You can start with the Cadillac, all the bells and whistles, and pick and choose what you want to have and what you don't.
That's exactly right. Yep, you're still the individual. It's still all about the individual, and you want to provide for that. So check with all that stuff. Make sure you have these coverages, that you have an individual policy to supplement your group policy, because you're probably going to want to do that, and be aware that disability is more likely than death. So pay attention to that. Well, we're glad you joined us, and thank you, Spencer and Tyler. And we've been talking about disability on Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.